Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. Thank goodness. It is hot here in New York City. Probably going to keep this a bit shorter today, seeing as, you know, we're heading into the weekend. There's not any real news to talk about other than Rudy Ford getting pulled over, apparently. Breaking news from Brandy in the chat. Rudy Ford got pulled over in Kansas for a minor traffic violation, and it made the news there. The cop and Ford were taking pictures together after. That's some good off-season stuff right there. Rudy Ford fresh off his interview with the guys over there at Underage Packers. Good stuff. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody in the comments section. I did want to comment just ever so briefly on one Zach Tom Bombadil, the man who can bend his opponents to his will. Look, it's funny watching kind of as we get closer and closer to the draft and people start talking about needs, right, and potential picks for the Packers, and the idea that a tackle could very well be in play at 15. I totally agree. I think that is 100% a legitimate, you know, one of the scenarios that could play out, no doubt about it. But it is funny, and someone on Twitter touched on this when I kind of promoted this chat, and I'm glad they did because I kind of got the gist of it. I keep seeing, like, Zach Tom almost not, like, dismissed. I mean, clearly, I think most people appreciate his talent. But I don't think anything's settled other than David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins. Everything else is up in the air on the offensive line, dependent on how this draft shakes out and the rest of the offseason. Who knows what happens, you know, veteran free agent-wise. But, man, like, I just feel like people think things are so settled as far as Myers being the center and Runyon being the guard and probably Yosh being the tackle. And that seems to be kind of set it and forget it in a lot of Packers fans' minds. And I'm here to tell you, I don't think that's the case. And I think Zach is going to make a case for himself at any number of different positions. And here's the thing. The way he saved the Packers' bacon last year, coming in at three different spots. I mean, he played every spot but center last year, along the kind of trail of the rookie season he had. Literally, including a game where he played left tackle when he found out he was starting the morning of the game. The young man is clearly talented. I really want to see him get settled into a position, and I really hope the coaching staff facilitates this. Probably not this offseason. I suspect they'll be moving pieces around quite a bit. But early on in camp, I hope we don't have another case where he's playing all over the map, right? And I get the versatility is enticing, and you want to be able to kind of plug him in wherever you need him. But I hope if they make the determination, let's say, that his best spot is center, as Brian Gutekunst himself said at the Combine was his thinking when he drafted him, that was his best spot. Say they have a competition to start the summer, right? If Zach shows that he's, you know, as good as they think he's going to be at that position, let him settle in. If they're going to play him at right tackle, let him settle in. Whatever they get the initial kind of input from their early on kind of practice schedule, reps, and they look at the tape, what have you, whatever they think, whatever their determination is as far as what his best spot is, I hope they let him settle in. Because if you think about it, last year, the young man, you know, he played a lot of left tackle for them while David was out, but that wasn't just the only place he played. He played a right tackle. He played a guard a little bit. I just hope he's allowed to settle in at a spot because I do think he's got tremendous upside and he's an incredible talent. And I hope they're, you know, they allow the young man to just get a little comfortable. And I understand situation doesn't always allow you to, and sometimes it's musical chairs, especially with injuries. I understand that, but this kid could be special, and I suspect they know this. I'm hoping that they kind of recognize that and do exactly what I'm talking about early on in camp, because I do think if they allow him to settle in and really hone his technique, the development will pay off, and I think they'll have, you know, a cornerstone. A really good cornerstone kind of the next several years there along the line in Green Bay. That was my piece on Zach Tom. I really like the kid. I was watching a couple of games this week, and I thought, you know, It's funny how like you get you start down the draft process and you get so enamored with all the kids' tapes, all the stuff you see in the college game and blah blah blah. But it's like they got this really good guy out of Wake Forest who's only played like, you know, a handful of games for him. I hope they give him a shot because he's really good. How is everybody? Good to see everybody in the comment section mixing it up. We got Dale in here. What's up, Dale? Dennis is here. Of course Dennis is here. Tim, how are you? Brandy, of course, is here. We got Abdul. What's up, Abdul? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Aaron, it irked me. It irked you. That 12 told the Jets not to rush the trade because he's not coming anyway until May. It's almost like he's colluding with them. Any chance we pay him to stay at home? All right. I would take that. I did see that report. I would take that with a grain of salt. Unless we hear it from Rodgers directly, most of the stuff around Aaron and his supposed thinking or what he said or didn't say or means or what have you, I would take most of that with a grain of salt. Not completely discounting it. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but it's hard for me to get worked up about it until I hear it from the man himself. If he goes into a microphone and says that, then we can have a discussion. But I would just, I wouldn't rise. I would tell your, I would advise you not to rise to the level of irked. That's all I'm saying. Any chance they pay him to stay at home, as David Bakhtiari intimated? Yes. Never tell me the odds, right? I mean, the chances are the Millennium Falcon finding a way through the asteroid field. One in whatever it was, you know? The odds are very, 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 very small. But could they? Yeah, they could. Like I said on Twitter, they were ready to pay Brett Favre $20 million to stay at home, you know? So, yeah, it's... And that was the same president and CEO. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they went down that route. Brian, thank you for the super chat. I think it's fair to be excited about the potential of 9-87-83 while also being critical of how Gutekunst has handled the wide receiver tight end positions in his tenure. I think that's absolutely fair. But without your exact critique, I'm not sure what you're being critical of. Yeah, I think... He drafted three guys who will definitely help them long term, especially with Watson. But yeah, I think you look at the signing of Sammy Watkins. That was obviously a swing and a miss. There's no doubt about it. I do think he played on the fact that he had Davante Adams and Rodgers was so dialed in. It's like, why would I invest heavily in a position where my guy is so hyper-linked and hyper kind of feeding this guy 80% blah, blah, blah of targets or called routes, you know, whatever, in that final year that he was in Green Bay. So I'm going to, what, spend a first-round pick on a guy that's going to see minimal opportunities because Aaron and Devontae are so in sync? I mean, I get it. I understand. Yes, you're 100% correct. You are more than welcome and definitely allowed as a fan to, you know, be critical. I totally get it. But I also think there's context there, and I also think, you know, with the way Aaron was slash is, I kind of understand it. And you had Devontae, and you thought you were going to have Devontae long term. And Brian tried. I know no one wants to hear it, but he did try. He did offer more money than the Raiders did. Now, I think the guarantees are worth that comparison kind of probably differs. Packers didn't want to upset their usual way of working. The Steelers did for T.J. Watt. The Packers didn't want to for Devontae. Plus, Devontae really pushed for it. Devontae wanted to get out, play with his buddy, get closer to home. And that kind of changed things, obviously. I think that surprised some people. So, yeah, I think there's criticisms to be had there. No doubt about it. John, thanks for the super chat. Happy Friday, Nags. Cheers to Zach Tom Bombadil. You know what? Cheers to that, my friend. Amen to that. Tom Bombadil, what a legend. Gotta love it. Luke, what's up, bud? Thanks for the super chat. I randomly thought about visiting training camp back in the day and how Antonio Chapman would sign every autograph, rain or shine. He carried the G. I can't say I was privy to Antonio Chapman's pre- or post-practice habits, but I will say someone who has taken up that mantle is Aaron Jones. He pretty much signs everything that's put in front of him. The man spends incredible amounts of time before and after every practice with the fans in a way that a lot of stars don't. Most of the bigger names in Green Bay now, And this is kind of the dirty little secret that no one ever really talks about at camp, but, you know, they hype the bike riding and all that. But if you're a guy that most fans have heard of, you're probably taking a truck or a golf cart in the back road, you know, the back way into practice, right? And it's a lot of rookies and practice squad guys who are riding bikes, unless it's Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is there every single day. And he's riding into practice, and he's saying hi to the fans. And after the practice, he's going out. He's not leaving on a truck backside. He's going out the front, and he's signing for fans. Talk about carrying the G. The man defines the man defines the phrase a little bit more than the man who coined it. Bill, thanks for the Super Chat. I cringe at the, quote, get our QB some weapons talking point. How about we get the team some weapons? Some non-fantasy football are more important. I hear you, Bill, but I'm with you, man. I think if anything, over the course of the decade plus that I've been covering the Packers, both as kind of a lark and also now kind of as my job, I think anyone who's been here long term understands that I am not a fan of pretty boy quarterbacks, right? I think they get way too much praise. I think it is a team game. Quarterback wins and losses are not a stat. But I will say, yes, as a team that is heading into a new chapter with a very young first-time starting quarterback, I don't hate the idea of getting him some weapons. But I feel you, Bill. I feel you. Yes. Offensive tackle. Maybe a defensive difference maker that helps get the ball back for said young quarterback. All these are in play. All those are valid. But, you know, I can't hate on the idea of getting him some weapons. I'm down for it. Pack Daddy. Thank you for the super sticker. Appreciate it, man. Charlie, thanks for the super chat. Let Royce Newman cook. I don't know why that made me laugh, but that's really good. Do you think Packers get Corey Davis? How was the vacay? Great work on the Cheesehead draft guide, Pappies. Oh, thank you, Charlie. I mean, as I always say, the draft guide, I'm minimally involved. That's why it's so good. And while we're here, shout out. Get yourself a Cheesehead TV 2023 Pro Football Draft Guide. The link is in the description of this video for your ability to purchase one. It is incredible. Incredible work by all involved. And thank you. Thank you for saying so. Do I think the Packers get Corey Davis? I will say, I know Saleh mentioned Davis down at the owners' meetings, and people were like, well, they're not trading him. I do think there's a possibility that he's included in this trade. What percentage? I have no idea. But he would fit the bill about what they've been talking about pretty much since the last season ended as far as the need to get a veteran wide receiver in the room. This would be a way to do it. You know, I do think the contract would need to be worked on and they'd have to adjust that. But, yeah, I think he definitely fits the bill. He's got familiarity with LaFleur from his year in Tennessee. There are way worse options out there. So I'd love that. I loved Corey Davis in college. I remember when I was at Sports Illustrated, I had to do write-ups for scouting reports, and I was doing something on a prospect at his school that, it wasn't him, but he was so good and jumped off the tape so much. Like, every time I was watching their offense, I was like, who is this kid? I think it was the year before he came out in the draft, but, like, I've liked him for a long time as a player, and I think he's been somewhat a victim of his circumstances in the NFL, both in Tennessee and in New York. I would love to see him in this offense with Jordan Love pulling the trigger. I think it'd be a lot of fun. But we'll see. We shall see. Coach, thanks for the super chat. Do the Packers lose the trade if there are no 2023 picks? Who gives a shit? I mean, look, not to completely dismiss your question, but I just don't care. I want to get compensation, clearly. As a fan, I want as much as they can get. But if there are no picks this year, and there are, a number of picks in 2024, I'm fine with it. I just, man, I'm sure some people will undoubtedly, say they lose if they don't get any 2023 picks. I just don't care. I mean, whatever the draft compensation is, as long as they get stuff they can utilize, assets, to aid their team, either this year or next. I'm fine by me. And as I said, all through the week, 10 days, 12 days, whatever, of everyone talking about leverage. As I said then, I can't wait until all the leverage talk turns into who won or lost the trade, because that'll be nauseating as well. I just don't care, man. Like, cool, rock and roll, have at it. It ultimately means nothing. It means as much as all the mock drafts that we're reading right now, which is nothing, you know? So it's for much more learned, wiser heads than mine to argue about. Pac Daddy, thanks again, man. What's your least favorite draft coverage cliche? Mine is checks all the boxes. That's good. Probably quarterback makes all the throws. Yeah, it's just like, really? You mean he's got an NFL arm? Great. That's the one that leaps to mind, but there are many others. I have no doubt about it. Al Ryder, what's up? Late, but live for a change. What's up, man? Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. Do you think Love the student has absorbed Rodgers the master, not snapping the ball until late, see what the defense is showing? That's a really good question, Frank. I don't think it'll ever be to the extreme that we've seen from Rodgers, but I do think that's something that he will undoubtedly employ, something that he probably has watched and learned and said, you know, I can put this in my tool belt, so to speak. One thing that I find interesting is that some people have kind of noted this, but it's so funny when we've seen him, whether it was against Philadelphia this year or his start against Kansas City 2 years ago, both times he's used the snap count really well. In fact, I don't know if it was this year or last, but he got somebody on defense to jump off sides and people, oh, he learned that from Rodgers. It's like, no. You go back and watch his college tape, he's been doing that for a long time. So that's another kind of piece of his kind of maturation, arsenal, what have you. I think taking the snap count all the way down, if he needs to, you know, if he thinks maybe I can get them to declare or a little bit like 5 seconds before the play clock expires, and then I can know where to go with the football. If he's learned that from Rodgers, that's awesome. I think that's a win for the Packers. That would be my kind of look at it. Soder knows. Love has already mastered the hard count. Yes, yes, he has. John, thanks for the super chat. Deceptively quick is my favorite draft cliche. That's a pretty good one. Deceptively quick. Joel, do I see a big uptick from Dobbs in year two? Yes, I do. I think mostly because of opportunity. I think a lot of people kind of look at his stats and think, oh, you know, kind of a middling rookie year. But, man, he did miss a chunk of time after that injury in Detroit. And even when he returned, he wasn't kind of near the guy he was prior. High ankle sprains will do that. They're notoriously bad as far as lingering and hampering guys and their ability to cut and do the things they need to do. I'm so bullish on him. I think there's a lot of people discounting him. And I understand the drops are a little bit frustrating when you look at kind of, you know, he had a number of them last year, but so did James Jones. So did Jordy Nelson. You know, so did Greg Jennings even. You know, I'm not sitting here like worrying about drops. I'm just not. You know, there's a litany of dudes who have come through Green Bay who had some drops. Devontae, people were ready to run out of town because of drops. And that was in his second year, not his first. So, like, I don't care about it. I just don't. I think he'll work at it and he'll get better, and I'm just not worried about it. But you talk about the ability, the stuff we saw in camp. You look at the touchdown in Buffalo. I'm in. I'm all in. I'm excited to see our running game, especially with Love's young legs, Aaron and Dylan getting the ball out. What say you? John, I'm with you, man. I was just talking about this on the radio. I really hope, like, look, they ran the ball, actually, quite a bit last year. I really hope they commit to it in a kind of base sense, like that is their bread and butter, you know? And I know they were acquiescing to Aaron last year in a big way, but, yeah, like, more than anything, can we get AJ behind the quarterback and get him running downhill, getting up a full head of steam rather than running him out of the zone, out of the shotgun? Please. Pretty please. Cherry on top. Like, yes, I'm very excited about it. And then, as you state, like, let's get some boot action off of that, and let's get some design quarterback runs. I think Jordan's ready to go. I'm all in on that idea. I love it. Oh, Charlie, how was my vacation? It was great. I think I talked about it a little bit maybe yesterday, but it was magical, man. I love New Orleans, and I fell in love with it even harder this past weekend. It's incredible. Can't say much more than that. It was awesome. All right, everybody, I got to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out and talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Oh, Raji rules in last second with a super chat. What's up? Chances we see BJ Raji return to the NFL playing with the Jets. On a side note, thank you for everything you do. That is incredibly kind. Chances, never tell me the odds. Thanks, everybody. Please, please, hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. Go Pack Go.